It's brand new Best Podcast in Baseball, the 14th season of the Best Podcast in Baseball. It's a roundtable discussion at the start of spring training for the St. Louis Cardinals. Cue the music. You want to do it for me?
No. That would have been a Best Podcast in the minors type move. But
no, do it. Do it. Do the music.
Bum, 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 bum.
You got to give it a little more oomph.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Best Podcast in Baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould, joined this week to start off the 14th season of BPIB by a roundtable that features two writers, me and Tamar Scher of KMOV. Very excited to have you. We'll just start right off with you, Tamar. What's been your impressions of spring training so far? Spring training really unlike any in at least a generation here in Jupiter, where the Cardinals are in deep rebuild mode, not contention mode.
While that's the case, I still feel like there's a lot of good energy. There is a sense of opportunity, and people are coming into the clubhouse with vibes high, knowing that they have the opportunity to be able to run with whatever they want to do. So whether that is a Mason Winn, who is coming off a Gold Glove year, but still feels as though he can do more, that he can win more Gold Gloves, or you have a guy like J.J. Weatherholt, who could find himself in an opening day lineup. There are a lot of things to be excited about in a way that these younger faces are now getting an opportunity, because what we saw in the offseason, you don't have those veteran guys, and you don't have a Brendan Donovan, who was a leader in the clubhouse. Well, now younger guys get the opportunity to run, and we're seeing a lot of smiles around the clubhouse.
I'm also joined by baseball writer Daniel Guerrero and sports columnist Benjamin Hockman, two of my colleagues at the Post-Dispatch. Daniel, when you talk about opportunity that's definitely here in spring training, who do you think is best positioned to make the most of it? What young player or young players, a couple of them, do you think could really kind of see, all right, that door is slightly open, I'm going to break it down and be there on opening day?
There are a lot of guys who come to mind with this, especially as Tamar mentioned. I mean, this is a younger clubhouse, so the key word she used was opportunity, right? And that kind of resonates throughout the franchise and kind of where it's at in this sort of rebuild mode. And I look at what's on the starting pitching side, because you do have returning players. I mean, you have free agent signee Dustin May, who you expect to be in the rotation. Matthew Liberatore is returning. Michael McGreevy's returning. But you have a couple other spots where guys can go out and prove themselves. And I think, and I know we've seen them already on opening day, but when I think about breaking down the door on opening day and solidifying your role, Kyle Leahy's the guy that comes to mind for me, because he was somebody who's been used in a lot of different spots out of the bullpen, got that chance at the end of the year at Wrigley to be a starter and kind of not even really get his feet wet to start in the majors, but kind of feel that starting routine again, because he did start in the minors. And he comes into camp with a kick change. That's a pitch that a lot of some Cardinals have worked on. He throws a lot of different pitches and is somebody who you saw the growth in last year, and having a clear picture of what he's competing for, as opposed to, you know, being in the bullpen mix, but also could be a starter. I think having that clarity for him and knowing that, okay, he's going to be in here to compete as a starter, I think he's a guy who could really, like you said, kick that door down to solidify his role for opening day.
Benjamin, same question to you. Is there someone that stands out to you that might take this opportunity to run with it? Doesn't have to be opening day, but might ultimately say, all right, man, the field is open for me to establish myself as one of the core players who might get this team back on track. Anyone stand out to you?
Real quick, Derek, congratulations on your Ken Boyer season 14 for it.
Oh, is that right? Yeah, the captain season.
That's pretty cool.
Wait, is that the year we retire?
No. You'll have an Edmund season. You'll have a Nolan Gorman season. You'll have a Dizzy Dean season. A Vance Leick season. You're good to go.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, maybe we're going to retire the 14th, though, because he was a legend.
Nathan Mills wants a Skip Schumacher season. I'm like, oh, dude, that's a long time.
Well, what's he wearing now for the Rangers? Is he still wearing 55?
Probably.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways I could go with my answer here.
We have all day. Just go ahead.
Yeah. I think and I'm not. I'm just gonna say I'm fascinated to see what happens with Thomas Tajesi this season. I don't know. Like, here's a guy who will probably, if anything, be the fifth infielder and fill in a lot. Maybe they'll use him in the outfield, depending on the Newt Barr situation and all of that. I know you wrote about that for tomorrow's newspaper, if I recall correctly, from our talk in the media room.
From today's newspaper for people listening, but yeah.
Yeah. Digital edition.
And, I don't know. The numbers were not very alluring last year, but clearly the minor league numbers were, so I'm not saying like I'm the JC guy around town or anything. I'm just kind of curious to see if he can take a big step this year. I'm not saying he's gonna become a superstar or anything like that. I'm just curious if he can take a big step, and I'll be watching
all of that tomorrow. And no one said JJ Weatherholt. I mean, is there a bigger opportunity in camp than the top prospect in all the organization and one of the top hitting prospects in all of the minors has?
I literally said to him yesterday that I don't know who has more of an opportunity than you, because this, when you no longer have Nolan Arenado on the roster, you no longer have a Brendan Donovan on the roster, and now you have a primed opportunity to see one of your top prospects who had a standout year last year in the minors, Texas League MVP, Cardinals Minor League Player of the Year. He had incredible stats last year, and if he can continue to show that he can play on a consistent basis, that he can continue what he did last year and run with camp, that's a big conversation that Ollie and Haim both talked to us about, is can these guys stay consistent? Can we see on a day-in, day-out basis that they are here and can stay in the big leagues? This is the opportunity to do it. And then you got guys like Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker who need to tap into their potential as well and see what this season can do for them. But I don't think anyone is primed for an opportunistic season quite like JJ Weatherholt.
That was very sweet how you said, like in a nice way, you said that Walker and Gorman need to tap into their potential, because it's easy to say it like in a negative way, like these guys have been terrible the last few years, what are they gonna stop? So I like how you put that. Tap into their potential is like a kind way of saying it.
Well, if you think about it though, with the clogged positions and with the veteran talent that you had, and there wasn't that clear runway, and that was the issue that we saw last year, is you're calling it a transition rebuild year last year, but it wasn't really, and now it is. Totally. And that's the conversation all along, is okay, now when you can have a Jordan Walker and a Nolan Gorman playing every single day at a set position, and you can see what they do with that in the bigs, what can they do? And again, there were unfortunate situations where guys weren't clicking all at once and weren't tapping in. You saw that with Nolan Arenado, where he was frustrated in what he was able or unable to do last season. So I just think that things with this collective buy-in, per se, of what could be with this young core, I'm not saying that this team is going to the World Series, but I am saying that I think that they can be more competitive together with the opportunity they have in front of them if you want to take an optimistic outlook.
I think a real test for a young team like this, where there is only youth, is what happens when it fails. When you're talking about, you know, you guys mentioned Jordan Walker, Nolan Gorman, they've clearly struggled in the majors. They've had the majors greet them and say, get better. JJ Weatherholt hasn't had that yet. There's a whole handful of other folks who haven't really had that struggle. And they haven't had it as a team. And I think in spring, they can say all the right things. They can talk about how excited they are for the opportunity. And they're all talking about it from an optimistic angle, as if like they're going to surprise people. Yeah. They go 2-12 to start the year. You ain't surprising anybody. And there's a whole lot of question as to how will they recover from that. And I think that, more than anything, is where the lack of veterans might show up. Someone who is like kind of a rudder or a ballast that says, you know, you start off 2-12, that's 14. You got 148 more to go, kids. That person isn't there. And I think that's a real question. Daniel, you've watched as much as any of us here at this table have watched this team grow up from the minors, from their arrival now into the majors. What are some of the personalities you think that might kind of define this team and maybe give it some of that protection against the turbulence that is inevitably ahead?
The word that comes to mind for me when I think about characteristics that could define this team really kind of feels like unity, because they're all going through this together. Mm-hmm. That's something that we learned a little bit about a couple days ago when Matthew Liberatore threw his first live of spring.
Yeah, I really like that story you did.
Oh, thank you. And you saw, I mean, pretty much all the pitchers in camp filling the dugout, standing behind the screen to watch it. And when you think about that lack of veteran presence in the clubhouse because of the trades that were made over the winter, and that opens an opportunity, not just for opportunity for roles on the field, but even roles as voices and leaders inside that clubhouse. And it really feels like they're kind of all going through this together. And Matthew Liberatore can kind of be a voice that can, somebody who can grow into that. And even he's kind of talked about just the sense of a community that they're looking to build. And I think that's going to be the characteristic that can help kind of guide them through this, because as I mentioned a little bit ago, they're all a part of this. I mean, they all share that common goal of wanting to build something here, and it very much feels like, okay, they're all going to, you know, just be there for one another. I mean, they've all come up through the system. Obviously, there's new guys on the 40-man that have been acquired through trades and a couple of free agent signings, but a lot of that core that we're looking at are guys who have played together since, whether that be Palm Beach or Peoria, but they've all been together, they all know each other, and they all are, in a sense, looking out for each other to kind of all take this in the right direction that they want it to be.
It's probably good that the Cardinals have a new baseball operations head to lead them into kind of a new frontier, right? So there's going to be a honeymoon period for Chaim Bloom. That's very clear. Fans will have patience with him. So, Benjamin, I want to ask you, and I'll ask the group this, but Benjamin gets the bat leadoff. Who will fans, or who should fans, have no patience for? Like, who is the pressure really on this season?
Yeah, I mean, the aforementioned Walker and Gorman, and especially Gorman, to have such great seasons in his first two seasons, and then to somehow have such terrible seasons, equally, just however great the first two were, the next few were just awful. And, like, this has to be it for this guy. And I'm not saying that there is, you know, I mean, he's the guy they're trying to see if he can become a major leader. The guy taking over for him maybe isn't behind him. Now, maybe I suggest, who knows. But, I mean, here's a guy who has the most power on the team. If he can unlock it, he needs to unlock it soon. Because, I mean, I can't speak for Chaim Bloom then, but I can speak for myself. And, like, I'm just so worn down by, and strikeouts are part of the modern game, but his strikeouts are at a ridiculously high rate, and it's frustrating.
Tamar, who do you see as really under the pressure this season?
Oh, I'm trying to go a couple ways with this, but I think what's interesting about this camp is the amount of guys who have had surgeries actually in the offseason to correct things and help better their games, which I find interesting. So talking to an Ivan Herrera, or talking to, we haven't been able to talk to Lars Nootbaar yet. He's going to show up late to camp, not because of his own, right, but because he has to get the equipment necessary to help rehab.
Yeah, but the ZOG runner that they don't have here, but to Tommy Pham's credit, they're finally going to get.
Yeah, they're finally going to get. And, of course, this is a brand new, gorgeous facility, but they still have pieces that they need to fill. But, no, I think the pressure is kind of on the, I'm interested, I guess, is the way that I'm going to put it, to see those guys and what they can do. Because for Ivan, and also just the catching rotation, I'm very interested to see how that plays out, because he's a guy that he had the elbow surgery, Ivan did, to be able to help correct what he was able to do. He was throwing yesterday, and he was feeling really good, and he just seems, he has this hunger in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Can he tap into his potential on the catching side of his game? He was DHing a lot last season because of that correction. You know, Mason Wynn even had, like, a little surgery on his meniscus, and he says he feels like he can move around better. I mean, you can't get much better than a Gold Glove season defensively, but, like, I wonder what that's like when he's in the batter's box of, like, tapping into that. And then a Lars Nootbaar, we haven't been able to see him, but how can he improve in all facets of his game with his new heels? So that's going to be, I think, to me, is the way I'm going to spin it, is I want to see these guys tap into their potential post-surgeries and see what was going on maybe under the surface to get them to a better place in 26.
What about you, Daniel? Who do you see as kind of having some pressure placed upon them this year, especially while the Cardinals talk about patience and long-term, who has a shorter term than most?
One of the guys that comes to mind for me, and Tamar mentioned him, I think there's a little bit of pressure on Lars Nootbaar coming into this year. We've seen, not just because we go on Baseball Savant and look at the Statcast numbers, but you see a lot of the traits that make this guy a really interesting player, mm-hmm. and somebody who can really propel himself into being, you know, a really good outfielder for any team that he's on. I mean, and you know, I know we make a lot of there's always a lot of talk about, you know, the hard hit data and the chase rate and all the, you know, his eye for the strike zone, and there's a lot to like about Lars Nootbaar, and I just don't think we've seen him at we haven't really seen that potential for a long of a stretch, as maybe, you know, the numbers would say would be there, and coming into this year, right, where he's one of the, if not, I mean, the veteran, yeah, position player, right? He's the veteran position player on this team, and somebody who, you know, has been a part of the regular outfield mix since he really took over that role. What was it, second half of 2022? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's somebody who has that profile, who can hit from the top of the lineup, somebody who can even hit from the middle of the lineup with some of that power, yeah, potential that he can reach, but we just really haven't seen it. And I think as the organization tries to head into a different direction that's younger, that's building towards the future, I think there is a little bit of pressure for Lars to prove that, okay, he's going to be a long-term fit here. And obviously it's unfortunate that he'll be limited with injury to start the year, but I think once he's healthy and when we see him on the field, I think there will be a little bit of like, okay, all right, let's see it, Lars, because we've all heard about how you know, how productive he can be with the underlying stats that we've been talking about and read into, but we just need to see that in, you know, the box score, you know, traditional baseball card,
sure,
stats.
Sure. He might be the ABS king too. You might see, like, yeah.
Right. I mean, and that was something that, you know, looking at last year, right, when we come into spring training, yeah, and they're starting to do ABS, and we're even thinking like, all right, who's going to be the guy that challenges
first? Oh, we all knew.
Yeah, we all felt like, okay, it's going to be Lars, and I honestly think he can tell if the pitch is a centimeter out of the strike zone.
Yeah. He's going to have like a 390 on base percentage, and he's going to bat 1,000 against ABS challenges.
Exactly. The game is kind of heading in a direction that would really benefit Lars, yeah, yeah, because of his eye for the strike zone. So, I mean, who knows if that'll ultimately help propel himself into just overall production. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think, like I said, you know, to kind of summarize this point, I do think there is a little bit of, you know, some urgency to see Lars take that next step.
Imagine how much better Matt Carpenter's great career would have been in an ABS, yeah, world with his eye.
Yeah, no, he would. That's Matt Carpenter told me a few years ago. He said when the majors get ABS, Lars Nootbaar is going to be the best player. Like, he's going to benefit from him more. He's going to get the calls that I didn't. And, you know, I mean, we went through and like counted up over a 5-6 year span. No one had more missed calls on them than Matt Carpenter. We talk about pressure and who's on them, and, you know, the one that stands out to me is the guy who arrives at spring with 1 year remaining on his contract, not likely to leave spring with 1 year remaining on his contract, but definitely a prominent member of this rebuild who, so I think it's fair to say there will be a lot of questions about what role, you know, for the future he has in this rebuild, if he has one, and that's manager Ollie Marmol. So, you know, jump ball here. What kind of pressure is on him?
Well, it's an interesting question.
Hockman gets the jump ball. When has anyone ever said that?
I'm 5'6" for those that don't know. I would get jump balls in like high school because you could like just grab it. You know what I mean? And then the possession changes. But if they had then had to do the throw, if they had to throw in the air, there's no way I'm winning any of those.
That's a jump ball.
Right, but isn't it called a jump ball when you say grab possession?
No, that's the signal that they give. It's, you know, it's a... I understand where you're going with
it. You would have done like the Chris Paul strategy where you don't even jump for the ball, you just sidestep the guy.
Just go on defense.
I like it.
That's a great reference.
The Marmol situation is really fascinating. I've written a lot. I'm repeating myself from columns I've written the last couple of years. You guys have heard it or read it. I really like Marmol. Maybe not read it. Daniel shakes his head. I'm really fascinated by Marmol. I think he is a great leader. I think he's a great thinker. He's curious. And he cares about teaching. Now, has he been successful teaching the aforementioned Nolan Gorman? I mean, clearly, statistically, the staff has not been successful yet. But many players on this team have done really well, taken the steps because of his leadership. Look, I just think, like, if you got a guy that wants to be here, that cares so much, that is always the smartest baseball guy in the room, I think. There's a skateboarder going past us right now.
Ambient noise.
Yeah, here.
It's not John Jay. John Jay is known for skating around, but that was not John Jay.
Yeah, and I think Chaim should give him a long-term extension. But the thing in regards to the season, though, like what, they're not going to base it off like the record, right? Like, I mean, unless they're like 20-10 or something like that, the Cardinals are not supposed to be that good this year. So how does Chaim gauge a good job from the manager if the record's not good? He's obviously going to look at different ways, individual development, things like that.
That's a great question, Tamar. How would you judge a season? How would you look at it? What? It's not going to be wins loss unless it's like a surprise win or a colossal loss, right? Like at the extremes. So how do you look at what's a successful year for the manager and by proxy by the team?
I think it's individual development, because at this point there's not any, well, there's a couple, but there's not anyone that you're like, he has to be in the position that he's in. I mean, you have a Mason Wynn and a Victor Scott. These are guys who like are established in their roles, and you can see that and you understand why. But there's a lot of room for growth from a lot of guys. And now in spring, I find it fascinating because this is going to be their time to set things. You have questions about what the starting rotation is going to look like. You have questions about the bullpen. You have questions about where people are going to play, who's going to play at every position, essentially, besides a handful that you're like, okay, I know, at the catcher position, like who's going to win that job? So I wonder, and I'm curious, as Ollie works with the plethora of staff that they have as well, because they've added so many new names that everyone says like they need some name tags, and just the player development staff.
Is that the new runway? Like last year we were like, all right, runway, get it, we got it. This year it's name tags. Is that where we're at?
I think so, but we're also like in the first week, so I'm going to I'm going to say we've been in this like baseball bubble right now in spring training.
Because if it's so, there's going to be a time, just you guys, fair warning, there's going to be a time when I will reference the bullpen and say, do you need name tags?
Yeah, and I think that there's just a lot of newness and opportunity to explore what you have. And so if Ollie taps into these guys' potentials, and I keep saying the same words over and over, but it's really the truth. It's when we talk about runway, it's how can you get the best out of these guys? And he talks about, for example, a guy like Gerangelo Sanja, who I know we're not talking about the big league roster at the moment, but we're talking about a guy who Ollie wants to get to know first before he makes decisions or calls on what they're going to do. And that's something both he and Chaim were very honest with us about. So that being the case, they're just looking to really get to know these guys during camp first, tap into what they can do, find the right staff members to help them lock into their potential that they have. And then you construct a roster from there. So I think that's the biggest thing, is how does he do all of that during the season, before the season begins? What does spring look like for them? There's a lot of question marks in the air, but to Benjamin's point, he is that brilliant mind who really cares about building relationships with his guys, and he's a teacher at heart. So that being said, how does he then unlock it in a 2026 season where there's everything's open?
Daniel, what do you look for? What are you kind of watching for in terms of not just like his interaction with players, but you know, the interaction with staff will be a big part of this too, and what they do collectively.
Right, and I think that the word you used right now, collectively, is kind of the way I'm looking at how we look at what Ollie does this year, and I think it's collective results. I don't think it's necessarily wins and losses, which isn't to say that wins and losses don't matter. Obviously, they do, because that is the name of the game. You win, you play to win the game, as one famous head football coach said.
I got another one. They are who we thought they are.
And we let them off the hook. But to your point, I think, especially with Ollie coming, having that background of player development, yeah, of being a coach at the minor league level and working his way up the system to where he is in a seat now as a manager, I think that's kind of what you look at in kind of assessing the job he does this year is how does he help steward this Cardinals, this era of the Cardinals in the right direction?
Yeah.
And whether that's on the coaching side of, you know, just, or even coaching and player side of getting the most of the people around him. And I mean, on the coaching side, obviously it's you know, just having that cohesive group. And on the player side, I would say it's got to be about, again, like not wins and losses, but maybe it's more so about how guys are developing and taking those steps forward and how he's bringing the best out of them.
And just real quick, you know, a lot of time as we were leading up to this, we would say, does Chaim have a guy? Does Chaim have a guy? Clearly he's not going to admit it to the public, but Marmol's in the last year. It's quite possible, maybe not quite possible, it is possible that Chaim has a guy he would love to have as the manager of his team. And we'll have to see. So that's just in the back of my mind. It kind of lingers and looms. And of course, maybe this is a segue, but there's a guy showing up to camp tomorrow that wants to be a manager.
Who's that? I mean, like, why tease? Just, who is that, Benjamin?
Well, they have to read the story. They've got to click below the headline.
Oh, I think the photo gives it away.
Do you remember Benji Molina, the old catcher, and Jose? They had a younger brother that played, too. Yadier. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be a manager in the major leagues.
Well, so, okay, I had three other things that I want to get to, but this is a quick kind of point. Is, I mean, walk me through how that works. Like, Yadier is going to manage Team Puerto Rico, Yadier Molina. He's talked about how he wants to be manager. He's recently pivoted and said, I want to coach in the majors. You could see how, as a coach, he'd be a good fit. Like, there's a lot of different ways. Sort of what John Jay has done.
Yeah.
But how does he, I mean, people want to romance the notion that obviously Yadier is going to come in and lead them to the promised land, and there won't be a rebuild. There'll just be the Molina magic. But, like, how does this work?
We have to remember that this is a team that is rebuilding, and this is a team that has young guys, and it's all about player development right now. And so I think it comes down to who knows these guys better than anyone else and who can help lead. And that's why we've seen so many additions to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, you know, of course, having Yadi around the program and around the organization is super, super valuable. Having David Freese around the program, super valuable. Why? That's the same reason that they hired John Jay and Daniel Descalso and Ollie Marmol from, like you said, Benjamin, the minor league system up, someone who knows this organization through and through, and it takes also the right pieces to make a good team. You can't just, I mean, okay, so I'm going to make an IU reference, because you have a Kurt Cignetti, who is an ultimate coach, and he's gotten a lot of guys to buy in from all across the country, two-star recruits, guys that you didn't think would be fantastic, and then makes them into something beautiful, wonderful, and Fernando Mendoza wins the Heisman. Okay, that's football, and we're talking college ball. But it's the same thing in a sense of who's the right person to get these guys to tap into their potential. I know baseball's a different game, but we're talking sports here, and we're talking leadership, and that's my opinion on it.
I would use Mizzou references all the time, except for it's been so long since there was a national championship that I just don't. They're outdated. It would just date me.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah, congrats on Indiana winning the championship.
Oh, that's IU. Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
Who?
We're good at journalism, though. I guess IU is good at journalism too. Oh my gosh, we're good at gymnastics.
Women's and wrestling.
And wrestling, yeah.
And we have better pizza and great burgers. All right, let's do a whip around here, around the horn. I have two quick topics, and then I want you guys' help on something.
Okay.
All right, so give me, each of you, the biggest question facing the Cardinals this spring training? I think so many of the questions surrounding the Cardinals aren't going to be answered until during the regular season. I get that. That's how it's set up, whether you want to go Yvonne Herrera at catcher, whatever. Oh, we Tamara has raised her hand. She's ready. Okay, so we're around the horn. Biggest question facing the Cardinals this spring.
Who is the opening day starter? No, in all actuality, it's who is the starting rotation going to be made up of, and how is it going to be constructed? And really, who is the opening day starter? Is Matthew Liberatore going to get that shot? I find it very fascinating to see what this pitching depth adds to what they continue to do there.
The biggest, it's interesting because I think we're all on the same page. Like the team's not supposed to be very good, so it's like. We can, like I was going to say, like the big, and you had it in your great 10 questions in the newspaper, and this was definitely one of them. It was like, will a Cardinal player hit a home run this season? Yeah. Like, to me, I'm not sure it's going to happen. So, but like, I guess what I'm saying is like, and maybe I'm normally optimistic in life, but I'm being very pessimistic. Like, does it even matter? But like, yes, where is the slug? Is it, I mean, obviously, we talked about Gorman multiple times on this podcast. He'll hit you 20 home runs, maybe, but can he get to 30? We talked about Burleson, Herrera. I'm probably forgetting someone pretty obvious, but now I can't, am I forgetting someone?
Jordan Walker.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think he's going to crack 20. I mean, is Joshua Baez the best home run hitter in the organization at this point? I mean, who's the guy you wrote?
Nelson Velasquez is the only 30 home run hitter in the camp. He's the only one who hit more than 20 home runs in the camp.
So last year the Cardinals were second in Major League Baseball on home runs, and this year I mean
second worst.
Oh yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry. Yeah, they had the second fewest home runs, and yeah, I mean,
what's your question?
I guess because we all, does JJ Weatherholt start on opening day?
Yes. All right, we're done.
I mean, I know that was.
No, he does. He will.
I mean,
falters.
And I guess maybe to build off that is, where does he start on opening day for the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Because he has that versatility. Obviously, Mason Winn is your Gold Glove shortstop. Brendan Donovan is now a Mariner. Nolan Arenado is now a Diamondback. Lanes are there for JJ Weatherholt to sprint and claim that job at a camp. Which job is it? Because I think part of that also is a little bit of a trickle down of okay, then if he's starting at this spot, okay, who is going to be the guy at the other spot? There are multiple options. I mean, Nolan Gorman's a guy who has experience at both spots. Maybe he's profiles more as he's had a lot of second base experience in the majors, but primarily was a third baseman down in the minors. Thomas Ajayi can play all over the place as well, but. As you know, it seems like he might profile more as a second baseman than any other spot in the infield. But when you think about this camp and you think about the things that you're kind of wondering, the things that people are watching, does JJ Weatherholt make the opening day roster and start an opening day in St. Louis? And two, where is that on the field?
For me, the biggest question is, what do the Cardinals do in March to make fans interested in April? Because April is when tickets are sold for August and September. And if there's any sort of semblance of trying to reinvigorate what Busch Stadium is like after last year, it's not going to build in July when the young players start to put things together. It's certainly not going to be after whatever August 3rd and there's a trade deadline. I'm really eager to see what this team does in March, both marketing-wise, performance-wise, young folks, social media-wise, to invigorate any sort of interest in this team to capture the imagination. I think it's a big year for not just promotion, but personality and how they tap into it. I'm really eager to see that. All right, give me, before I ask the big question for your all's guidance to give me help, give me your breakout player. Who do you think, doesn't have to be someone who makes the opening day roster, but who uses this spring to launch themselves into the consciousness? Could be somebody who's returning, could be a prospect, could be somebody who does make the opening day roster. Who has a big spring that puts them in the focus?
I'm just really high on Dustin May. I'm excited about this. Quite simply, we've got a guy who, when he was healthy and young, he was an elite young pitcher and a prospect. Well, guess what? He's feeling normal again, finally, after 73 surgeries. He's in spring. He's feeling good. Let's see what number three brings to the table.
there are a couple guys that I come to mind, but I can only choose one. Obviously, Joshua Baez and Leonardo Bernal come to mind as prospects who could have big springs. But if we're talking also about leaping into consciousness and almost in a sense refamiliarizing yourself with Cardinals fans, I think Packy Naughton could have a pretty impactful spring. I mean, he's somebody who's a non-roster invitee to camp, coming off of a long rehab after one injury and another and a second arm injury, and here he is in big league camp, has big league experience, is somebody who the Cardinals used in some big spots when he was healthy, and here's an opportunity for him to leap back into the minds of, or leap back into the majors while he's here in Cardinals camp. And I think he's somebody who could be almost like a dark horse candidate to crack this opening day roster.
And I was able to talk to him already, but it's a guy who we know and love on defense, Mason Wynn. He's a guy who, when you are in the batter's box and you're actually feeling good, he got his meniscus repaired, and he says he's feeling like he has more mobility now, and he was able to walk out of surgery and immediately like feel the effects and get the rehab in and get the PT in that he needed. But man, if we can see a Mason Wynn tapping into every single aspect of his game at the same time, you thought last year was fun. How about 2026 Mason Wynn? I think it's going to be electric if he can continue to improve his stats offensively.
I'm so glad you said Mason Wynn. I think that that's the one under the current. You know, everyone like he's already been there, he's already done that, he's a starter. That's a guy who like could come out of this spring. The difference between being like the starting shortstop for the team and the starting presence for the team.
I was pleased in what you're saying about can the Cardinals promote this guy? Like, he's a reason to come to the ballpark.
Yeah.
Have you seen Mason in person? That should be a thing in St. Louis. Have you seen Mason in person yet?
And honestly, with his resume that he built last year, it should be that right now.
Yeah.
I'm glad. You know, I think Josh Baez is going to leave spring training as a household name. I think people get to see him play. There's going to be games over the air, right? Matrix Midwest, there are going to be games over the air free. I think people are going to get to see a lot of Josh Baez. I think you might see him in center field. Some you're going to see an athlete who play. Oh, my God. He is an athlete who now plays the game aggressively, power, stolen bases. I think he's going to leave the game as a household name. But I think the guy who is going to capture the imagination is going to be Victor Scott. I think Victor Scott II is going to start getting on base. And all these years of watching them go through spring and then no-go in April, we're going to see go-go in spring and then go-go some more in April. This team, they don't expect to contend, so they're going to let them run. And Victor Scott's going to take off. I think that's somebody. All right, so this is my 22nd spring training down here, and I need your guys' help with this. Every previous spring training, the Cardinals have been, and I've looked at them this way, and I've tried to have the coverage geared this way and the conversation geared this way, through the lens of what did you do today that gets you closer to a pennant in October? What did you do today? What did this player do? What did you choose as a roster? What move did you make that got you better and closer to a championship October? That's not this team. If you start looking at it through this through that lens, that's not what this team is built for. So help me, guys. Like, tell me what's the lens that we should look at through this team? Is it what did you today? What did you do today that gets you closer to a championship in 2030? That doesn't seem right. So what do we do? What do I? This is new to me, so I'm asking for your all's guidance.
Well, I think, and a theme of what we've all mentioned here is, okay, who's going to be on that team in 2030? Who right now is going to establish himself as a core player of the next great Cardinals team? We probably agree that Mason Wynn will be around here for a bit. Will it be Weatherholt? Seems to have everything going in his way. He'll probably be around too. But who else? What will it be? One of the young pitchers? Will Libertor take off? I mean, we're talking about a former first round pick here. So I think that's a way to look at it. Like, and we're not going to get the answer by March 26th, if you will, but it's something to look for.
I mean, I know you question, like, if is what we do today helping us for a championship in 2030 the right way to look at it? And I don't think that's too far off. I mean, not that 2030 is too far off.
That's a long way off.
I'm not going to put the year on there.
Okay.
But I'm saying, like, I think...
A future champion.
Yeah, I think that that's the way you can kind of look at this, is how are you building towards the future? Obviously, you build towards a season that starts in spring. But, I mean, if you're looking at a long term, well, I mean, this is... this is laying the concrete of the foundation. I mean, I think that's a way to look at it, because if, like Benjamin said, you're finding out the players that are going to establish themselves as core players for the next great Cardinal team, I think in a sense that all kind of wraps up into one thing, is how are these guys, how is this organization today on February 15th building towards October 20 and pick your two numbers?
Yeah, and I echo that, and that's exactly what we've heard from both Ollie Marmol and Chaim Bloom, that these are the building blocks. This is, it's the tear down, rebuild, what we've been talking about, and I think it's going to be exciting if you want to see guys tap into their individual potential and you want to see this new age of, I'm just, all that's coming to my mind right now is what exactly what you two said, and Victor Scott, I clump into that conversation as well, of just a guy that I see in their eyes and in their personalities that these guys do, they're so young, they have so much life and personality and want and hunger. Von Herrera, such a hunger in his eyes this year. He wants to catch so badly. So it's like the want is there, the hunger is there. We talk about the collective buy-in and in terms of where do you tap into leadership. Well, if you don't have a ton of veteran presence, how are these guys going to lead together and how are they going to continue to excite Cardinals Nation? Because it's a very tough fan base that they understand and love and know that there are high expectations. But if we know already we're going into this year that the expectation isn't the World Series, then the expectation should be how do these guys lead together collectively, build these strong core relationships, and also individual success.
That is Tamar Scher. Tamar, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great. Your first time on BPIB, and help us kick off a new season of it. So that's Tamar Scher of KMOV. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I said I had to end my day with you all doing this podcast because I'm so honored to be here, and I love getting to hang out at spring training with you guys in sunny, gorgeous Jupiter, Florida.
This has been great. You can see all of her reports there at KMOV, Matrix Midwest, all over. And also I've had Benjamin Hockman, sports columnist of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and baseball writer Daniel Guerrero. Thank you, guys. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. This was super fun.
Yeah, it was super fun.
We didn't know you were going to ask us to say anything. We were like, yeah.
No, I got to do the close here.
No, you can find
all of Benjamin Hockman's work at scltoday.com and in the pages of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. That's also where you can find Daniel Guerrero.
Yeah, yeah.
And you could also find Benjamin Hockman at, what is it, Hockman on TikTok?
We're all on TikTok. All four of us counting tomorrow. We are TikTokers.
TikTok on the clock.
Oh, boy.
TikTok.
This took a turn. All right. And you can find, no, I'll leave it in. I'll leave it in because I'm running out of time. TikTok, Benjamin. Yeah. You can find all of Daniel's work in the Constant Cardinals coverage at scltoday.com and in the pages of the Post-Dispatch. The best podcast in baseball, brought to you weekly by Closet by Design. It's available wherever you get your podcast. Please rate and review and, of course, subscribe, because all of that makes this possible. For Tamar Scher of KMOV, for what's it?
Hooch.
No, this is not right.
That's my nickname.
For Ten Hockman and for Daniel Guerrero, I'm baseball writer Derek Gould. Talk to you soon.